Imagine turning over and being like, oh my God, I really want a chip witch right now. And then being like, babe, that's definitely a bad idea. And you're just like, fuck off. Like, I want a chip witch. Sorry.
Welcome to Burning Hell.
What is up, guys? We are in a hot, boiling lava hell today with no one other than half of Chicks in the Office and the group chat on Snapchat, yeah, and co-host of the Dime Package. She's obsessed with all things pop culture, Disney, reality TV. She's Fran Mariano from Barstool. Let's fucking go. Ooh. Welcome, Fran. How are you?
I'm pumped. Thank you for having me, Hannah.
Quick question.
Yes.
What was the decision to go by Fran rather than Francesca?
Oh, I can call my mom right now. No, she's so, I really didn't have a choice. Francesca's just too long. I really tried to make Francesca my name, like, all the way to high school.
Mm-hmm.
My mom hates Fran, despises it. She's like, I named you Francesca.
Yeah.
So I made it up until like sophomore year of high school until all my friends were like,
too many syllables.
I became Fran, Franny. Like, it just, it was out the door, gone. When I came to Barstool, everybody also has shortened names.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody goes by like some big name. I could not come in here and be like, no, you all have to call me Francesca. Like, they'd be like, all right, like, what? Like, everybody has some kind of nickname. I mean, even Rhea has a nickname and her name's Maria. It's not exactly like it's, you know?
So, Tom is just tuh.
yeah, we're like, it's just had to be shortened. I try and like keep Francesca on some of my social stuff, like on Instagram. I have it as Francesca.
I just feel like Francesca and Fran are two different people.
Completely. Who, like,
probably don't even get
along. That's like my my family is like, you're Francesca. Like, my family jokes because they're like, there's Francesca and then there's like Barstool Fran. Like,
Fran talks shit on podcasts, and then Francesca is a respected daughter, and, you know,
yes,
we don't know anything else about Francesca. She's pretty mysterious.
But so mysterious.
I want to backtrack with you a little bit. Did you want to be like an entertainer?
Yes. It's like, since I was little, when I first started like really watching football with my dad, which I've been doing my whole life, and I would see these women on TV, sideline reporters, and I was like, holy shit, that looks like the best job ever. Specifically Erin Andrews. I always say, like, I wanted to be Erin Andrews when I was little. She was so epic. And then on top of that, then she started hosting Dancing with the Stars, and I was like, this is my dream. Fox NFL Sundays into Dancing with the Stars. So I'm like, that's all my favorite things. I was like, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, it's cool that someone is showing you, like, dreams do come true. Like, you can do fucking anything. Yep. And also, there's something about Erin Andrews, how she's in this male-dominated space and is just full of so much grace and confidence. Ugh. And, like I feel like everyone wants to fuck her, but, like, her mind, too, because she's just, like amazing in every way.
She has, like, a line of women's fan apparel for, like, sports, for sports fans. And it's so, so cute. And I had bought some of it and was wearing it and tagged their accounts, and she like responded to me on Instagram. I cried. Like, I literally cried. And then they sent me like a, you know, they sent me like a package of like, oh, we saw you post, like, here's some more stuff. And I was like, I've died and gone to heaven. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
So you guys, in the years you've been at Barstool, I feel like have met every single celebrity. Like, for real, have come through your doors.
There's been a lot, yeah.
Like, I even remember the first time I went to Barstool, people were like, oh, you can't go upstairs, Dennis Rodman's there. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was working at Betches at the time. I was like, well, Dennis Rodman, which is probably an amazing interview. But are you starstruck with anyone else besides Erin Andrews?
I get starstruck all the time. But I think that's just because I'm such a fangirl at heart. Like, I've just always been such a fangirl that I can't really like shed that persona. I try and play it cool.
Yeah.
And I think I keep my cool within the interviews and whatnot. And then I freak out. Like, I have had some moments here where I have one thought, like, I can't even have this person on my show. Like, Rupert Grint was here one time. Ron Weasley. Ron Weasley himself. I'm an absolute Harry Potter freak. And he went on Lights, Camera, Barstool, which is our movie podcast here. And I went to our talent booker and was like, oh my God, Rupert Grint. And then she was like, would you want him? And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I didn't really know if I'd be able to talk to him.
He shouldn't be allowed in my vicinity.
And then I would feel bad because all I would want to do is talk about Harry Potter. And this poor guy's like trying to promote his Apple TV show. And I'm just like,
he's like, look, I've been pigeonholed and I'm just trying to have a longer career.
So
and you're fucking
instead,
me up.
Like, instead I just went the full fangirl route and was like, I'm not going to go the professional route. I'm going the fangirl route. I knew what time he was coming in for the interview. Mm-hmm. I have a Ron Weasley Christmas sweater from Harry Potter World. like the orange one with the R from the first movie that they get on Christmas.
Yeah.
I have that. I wore it to work. After his interview, I went up. I was like, oh my God, I love Harry Potter.
I stood behind him and just smelled his hair.
Yeah, it was just like, I was like, I'm sorry for going full fangirl, but I'm just going to go this route instead of like being like, oh, hello, like, please come on my show. I would love to speak to you. Like, I went full
But you
full,
also, you don't just
fangirl.
Meet celebrities. Like, you full on spend like at least 30 minutes sitting with them and like feeling their aura. Are a lot of the celebs like how you imagine them?
Most of them are. You know what sucks is like I really miss feeling celebrities' auras. Like, we haven't gotten to do that in a while.
Yeah, true.
You know,
I miss that rich
and now
smell.
That you bring it up, I'm like, fuck, I really miss like having
it's
people
not the
in here.
Same over Zoom.
It's really, really not. And I always go back to the Jonas Brothers, and I'm sure like everybody who listens to Chicks in the Office knows that like I've talked about this 9 million times. But that was like an alternate universe. Like, I pretended like I wasn't even myself. Like, I went back to the hotel and was like, that just happened. I'm a very emotional, could not deal with it. But then there's people that I wish we had in real life that I like would have geeked over. Like, Sophia Bush came on our show a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just like everything I dream she would be as someone who's like watched One Tree Hill like 9,000 times.
Yeah.
So sweet, so soothing, like literally the nicest human.
The most charitable person, I feel like.
She is like, not only that, but she's very, you know, vocal about her beliefs and like she puts her thoughts out there and she doesn't shy away from like telling people how she feels and getting political and whatever. People hate that, but I respect that. And she, she then also afterwards sent us like the nicest note for us having her on our show, handwritten like by her.
See, that's
she
annoying
sent
to
us,
me. I'm like,
she
that's
sent us
too
a
much.
Diffuser.
No, like we get it, Sophia. You're a fucking angel. Why do
we
you
were
make
like
everyone
we're
look bad around
shit.
You? Oh my God. Well, Burning in Hell stemmed from like when I worked at Betches. I was interviewing a decent amount of people who I like looked up to, and I want to know from your perspective, honestly.
Teresa Giudice. Still to this day, one of my favorite clips. Every time you post it, I pee my pants laughing. Every time.
Thank you. You're Italian, right?
Yes.
I was being a cocky Italian. I was like, I'll pronounce this shit, and I hadn't really watched Real Housewives. But then people afterwards told me that like she pronounces it in different ways. But the funniest thing was her reaction when she just goes, "What'd you say?"
Yeah, her reaction was the best because she she thought to talk and then she was like, "I gotta say something about what she just said." Like she was like about to be like, "Hey, how are you?" And then was like, "Wait, I'm sorry. What did you just call me?"
I did the same thing with Luann too, who I love. But I was like, "Luann," and then I was like, "Fuck, I don't know how to do this." And I was like, "Delesseps," and she was like, "Delesseps."
Yeah.
And then you're just awkward the rest of the interview.
Yeah.
But I want to know from you, do you overall think these celebrities are happier than the average person in accounting?
I think the ones that are super famous but have somehow been able to like stay fairly private, 100%. Like, I would die on the hill that, like, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds have a picture-perfect life. Don't tell me that they don't. I know that they do. They go to their fucking farm, wherever it is in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got their apartments in the city and whatever they do, and they go back and forth, and they and have the these beautiful children. And the only press they
get is like cute little tweets when they're making fun of each other, which is adorable.
Exactly. Like, they don't have any bad stories out about them. Like you said, any you read any E! News headline about them, it's like, Ryan Reynolds teases Blake Lively on her birthday. Like, it's like, it's so fucking always wholesome. Yes. So wholesome. They have a happy life. And 10 times happier than the schmuck who's working in accounting. It's just, it's true. It's
okay,
true.
Let's not shit. We need our taxes done right this year.
But, oh, please, please. I can't. Yes. Absolutely.
I also want to know from you, though, did you really want to be a sports broadcaster? When did it shift?
It's not necessarily that it shifted. It's just that football was like my first love, and then as I got older, I was like, wait, I'm just like this teen girl boy crazy fangirl Justin Bieber, Jonas Brothers, One Direction. Like, I loved it all, so that really blew up, and just like my love for celebrities and gossip and whatnot. So like then it kind of shifted where I loved watching like Juliana Rancic, so I was like, okay, well, you know, a sideline, like, I was like, I literally was like, if either one works, that like, would be great.
Can I be a sideline reporter for celebs?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yep, pretty much. I was like, wow, you can just stand on the red carpet and look glamorous and talk to celebrities? Like, I want to do that.
But I feel like what's awesome about you is you, like, have real passion for shit. Like, you, like, love shit. Like, even your description was like, I love Disney and pop culture and I just want to put my face in it. Yeah. And, like, you have, I always, for people who ask me advice on podcasts, I'm always like, make sure it's something you want to talk about for, like, forever. Like, it can't be something that you're just interested in for 2 weeks. Actually, I wanted to be a sports broadcaster after, because I was a tennis player at Wisconsin. And that's where I learned how to edit videos. And I was, like, doing sports broadcasting. And then I fell into Betches. But, like, sports broadcasting, again, is this, like, male-dominated space. Yeah. Have you always felt comfortable putting yourself out there to be, like, a female in a world that isn't necessarily full of females?
Honestly, not completely. I think when I first got here, I was really, really nervous about it. And it took just kind of, like, getting to fully know the people around me and knowing that everybody was like, yeah, if you want to do that, do that. Like, there's no one should tell you you can't be talking about that or anything like that. And then I think I just needed like a little bit of positive reinforcement, because you always get the bullshit like, oh, what does she know about sports? But whatever. And I'll never forget, we did our first, like, it was when I first started working. We were in a basketball league, like a New York fucking rec basketball league.
Beer,
like,
league.
Yeah, like as like a bunch of the guys in the office. And I jumped on as like coach, manager, stat girl, and just once everybody like within here and also online like realized I knew what the fuck I was talking about, they were like, oh wait, shit, she's good, like she can figure this out, because it's not necessarily what I was hired for in the first place. Like, I was just hired as an intern to help out, and was like, I really love Philly sports, and you can say that. So in that moment I was like, no, watch, I know what I'm doing and you'll all see. And they did, and then after that they were like, oh well, we can have Fran do basketball stuff.
Once you prove yourself, they're good. But it's like everyone will have the assumption like that you just are saying, I like Philly sports because you like
The assumption is bullshit to begin with. I hate that. But if a guy came in here and was like, oh yeah, like I fucking love the Celtics, and like it's like, okay, like do you actually, or are you just saying that because you know everybody here is like from Boston, right?
It's also like, if a guy comes in and he's like, yeah, I love Bravo, I'd be like, oh, so who's your favorite Vanderpump? So what's your favorite housewife and why?
So everybody, that's like, that's just the world of everybody wanting to one-up each other. But
yes,
Now I feel very comfortable doing it. I love putting it out there. Like, everybody was laughing at me Monday night because I was live tweeting the Bachelorette and the Sixers game at the same time. And I was like, guys, I'm going to pass out here. Like, I was doing Cutting Stems, our Bachelorette after show. There was 2 minutes left of the Sixers game. And I'm like, yeah, guys, so what do you think about what Aaron said. Oh, fuck. Like, I'm like, God fucking damn it. Like, Kelly and Rhea were like, pick one. You either can talk to us, we're live, or you can, like, you know, watch the Sixers.
Well, women are multifaceted, complex beings, and that's what I fucking love about you.
I can multitask my ass off. Everyone was like, damn, look at her. Girls were tweeting at me. We're tweeting at my basketball tweets being like, wait, I thought this was a Bachelorette tweet and got really confused.
You're like, and he slam dunks. And it's yeah, like, he yeah, dunked like, on
he's
her?
Like, what? It's like Ben Simmons is on the Bachelorette.
But I always say sports and reality TV are very close. I feel like sports is the best version of reality TV. I mean, yeah. WWE is just straight up reality TV. I read you went to Georgetown, which is a very esteemed college. And then you dropped out.
Yeah. Well, I dropped out before, like, the Barstool thing even happened. College for me was just, like, not great.
Explain.
So I, first of all, like, I am the oldest grandchild on both sides of my family.
Oh, my God, same. So we're the favorite.
The favorite by far. Like,
yeah, there's no far. Like, my grandpa's phone is just me in the background, and that's it.
Yep, by far. So, like, I have, you know, there's 12 on one side, 10 on the other. Like, there's a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And so I was first to be applying to colleges, first to get in. Not only was I going to go to Georgetown, but my parents met at Georgetown. My grandpa graduated Georgetown in 1959. Like,
your legacy.
Yes, yes.
Francesca, the legacy.
Yep. That's who Francesca is. 100%. And so, like, what's funny is because I always wanted to do the sports stuff, I was like, this is my junior year of high school. I was like, oh, God, like, everybody always joke, oh, Fran's going to go to Georgetown. Obviously, we all know it's your parent, everybody. And I loved the school. I loved rooting for the sports teams. I loved everything. But when I actually was like, do I want to do in college? Like, what do I want to study? And when I realized that was kind of like broadcast or sports or sports management, things like that, Georgetown doesn't have any of that. Like, their closest communications thing is just like being an English major. And so I think I just got like influenced by the outside world a little bit too much. I got into other schools with these great sports programs and was like, well, like, how do I say no to Georgetown? I end up going. I'm in business school.
Oh, boy.
I'm just like,
on your way to being a finance bro.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like the path that my mom took.
Yep.
So I think that,
which is normal, like, as a young kid. Yeah, that's all you know.
And I think, you know, I don't think she necessarily knew she was doing it, but definitely influencing me in the way that, like, oh, well, you know, what about business school? And me being like, I guess.
She knows better than you.
Yeah. So I end up there for like a year and a half, and it's basically just one giant disaster. I'm doing so poorly in school. I'm lying to my friends, my family. Like, nobody knows how bad it is because I was like so incredibly embarrassed and felt like I was like this biggest failure, that I couldn't make this work. And eventually it just like blew up in my face.
Was it because you weren't why do you think you were doing badly?
I think I was doing badly because, one, I hated where I just like was not happy in my environment.
Yeah.
And I think I legitimately fell into like a little bit of a depression. And I don't know if it was like homesickness or a lot of it too, I think, was very social media influenced. Like, I was seeing all my friends from high school having all this fun in college and being like, well, why am I not doing any of those things? And then I've worked on it, and I think I'm better at it now, but I have had this extreme fear of failure where, like, if something started to go wrong, I just went into a ball. I did not know how to be like, I need help. I'm not doing well. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. In my brain, I was like, what's wrong with you that you can't figure this out? And so I just like, and then I just completely shut down. I would just stay in my dorm room. No one would talk to me. I would sleep till like 5 p.m. I would be up all night. Like, I just was like a shell.
So it's not like you were partying and shit. Like, you were just paralyzed by it kind of sounds like you were putting a square peg into a round hole. Yeah. And you were like not on your right path.
Oh no, I was like, how do I tell my parents this? Yeah, how do I tell my how am I like gonna admit to my family that I just don't think I can do this? And like, how disappointed are they gonna be? And is it like, I just always was, I was always put up high by yes. everyone, and I was like, I'm not living up to what everybody thinks that I can be doing. And it turned into just such a disaster. And like I said, like I went, started going to counseling, and like my counselor was like, I think you have been like legit. I think you've been depressed. I think you mm-hmm. need to leave school. I think this is not working for you.
Oh, wow. So the counselor was not like, hey, get back in there. You're going to be fine. They were no. like, you're bad.
No, they were like, you're bad. And also like, you can't continue staying here with the way you're like
you're
going
about
classes.
You're like a very intelligent person to even get into Georgetown. So it's not like
yeah.
you mentally couldn't keep up. It was yeah. your like mental health that was
right.
suffering.
And it was just, like I said, a combination of all those things. And then just like, never really having to worry about school that much growing up is just something that was sort of natural. I would never really was like, oh God, like worry about grades. Like, I was a good student. Mm-hmm. And I got there. I was like, holy fuck. Like I am way in over my head. I don't know what I'm doing. I was in all the wrong classes, doing all the wrong things. Like it just was so bad. And all it took was like my first few like really bad grades for me to be like, oh my God, like this isn't going to work.
You lose confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, and like I said, that were all these things that like made me totally shut down. So I left school, like, you know, in the night almost. Everybody was like, where the fuck did she go?
And you Irish goodbye.
Yeah. I was just like, I told like my closest friends and was gone and went home kind of like with my tail between my legs because it's like, where I grew up, everyone just kind of good high school, good college, good job. Like there's mm-hmm. no in between. mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm home. I'm working in like the little country store deli that my mom runs. Like mm-hmm. I'm in here and everyone, all these parents are coming in like, oh,
Why are you here? Oh my God.
I'm like, it's just, it was so miserable. But thankfully, like,
you're like, it's a gap year in the deli.
Yeah, right. Basically. And, you know, I was able to figure out like how to try and like stay happy and like be social and continue to like do things. And then I started taking classes at other schools because I was like, what the fuck do I want to do? I have no idea. Like,
how was your depression? Like, how long did it take to get out of that like really dark place you were in?
I want to say like probably a year. I went to therapy like once a week for that entire year that I was home and had such an amazing like therapist. I loved her so much.
That's amazing.
And she just like helped me unpack so much of just like my childhood pressures that I put on myself and like kind of just like letting all that stuff go and not worrying necessarily what other people are going to think and how it's going to come across and just like try and really do what's best for myself. And when, you know, someone in my family or outside or friends or someone in town has a snarky comment, to just kind of be like, whatever. Because that, like, when I used to hear those things, I would stay up all night. Like it'd be like, oh, I'm stuck with this. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like learning to brush things off a little bit more.
It's hard. I mean, I feel like a lot of the listeners, because I'm similar to you, a lot of the listeners too are type A. And like to get where you are, it's great to have a fear of failure. Like I went to Wisconsin and they talk like how the basketball coach is so good because he hates losing more than he loves winning. And like that's not healthy. Like that's if you live just like so scared of losing all the time, the way you succeed is by failures. Like if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough at things.
Yeah.
And also your experience was, if you had enjoyed it, you would have just been on the wrong path. But I 100%. Also, I love your story too, because people like hype up college. Like it's the best time of your life. That's what everyone says. Like, oh, it's going to be the best time of your life. It's like a fucking holding cell because you're not like socially prepared to deal with real life. But then you don't really know what you're doing and you don't know why. And then they're like, don't worry about the future. And then like senior year, they're like, worry about the future. What do you want? And you're like, I thought we didn't care. Anyway, yeah, I agree. College fucking sucked.
It's just no, but it's just funny because like the pressures that they put on you school wise is so crazy. I was very lucky because I did, when I was home, I really kept all my relationships with my friends at school. Like I one, I was dating a kid who still went to Georgetown. So, like, I would take the train down on weekends. I would see my friends. Like, I literally got to experience, like, all the fun stuff without, like, actually going to class. We're like, it actually took it. I'll never forget it. Like, 3 months after I left, I was there. And one of my guy friends overheard me talking to someone else about, like, being at home and, like, whatever. And he was like, "You're what? Like, what do you mean? Like, I literally see you every weekend." And I was like, I'm just coming for the weekends.
You're like, I like college just on the weekends.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty fun, like, when you don't have to worry about all the pressures and being in all the wrong classes and doing all the bad shit. So thankfully, like, it was so great, though, because those friends that I made there also, like, gave me the confidence I needed, because like I said, like, growing up, it was so competitive. Mm-hmm. So in high school and things, it was like, I was so embarrassed to tell my high school friends that things, like, didn't work out for me at Georgetown, and how they would react and would they be weird about it and all this stuff. And I had that same fear, like, when I was leaving and was like, oh my God, I gotta tell my friends and I'm, like, gonna be gone, whatever. And they were just, like, the best people, you know. They never treated me any differently. I would come for weekends, they would be so excited, make sure I was invited to everything, any kind of event that was going on, like, I would be texted about, like, hey, like, make sure you pack this, we're doing this Saturday night. Like, it was so nice.
That's so that I was awesome.
Like, it's just, I mean, they're the best, and they're all, like, still my best friends. Most of them are all in New York, so I see them all the time. But it's just like, that I'm so grateful for, because thankfully, even though, like, the college stuff didn't work out, all of those people are, like, so amazing. And just, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
God,
because they didn't like you just because, like, you would get good grades at Georgetown. Yeah, they liked you for you, which is, like, really what friendship should be about, that, like, unconditional, like, caring, because everyone has their ups and downs in their life. Like, I remember I quit my marketing job and was interning at Betches for, like, no money a week at 26 years old. And my friends were like, "Oh, is Hannah okay?"
Yeah.
And I just had to kind of, like, find the right people who, like, were supportive of me and didn't think I was a fucking loser. Yep. But also, we're all losers. We're all losers. That's the moral of the story.
And also, it's just everybody, like, there's ebbs and flows, baby. Yes. Like, that friend who makes
ride the wave.
Yeah, like, that friend who makes fun of you for maybe, like, taking that internship or taking something for less pay or, like, taking some time off, like, their time will come around where they're in a job, they got a job problem going on, and you're just like, huh, hope you get out of that. Like,
in Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
You know?
So tell me the moment when, like, you got involved in Barstool and how that all went down.
So finally I decided I wanted to finish school at Marymount Manhattan, which is on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm like, older now, and this was, like, 2016, the beginning of 2016. So my friends were all in their senior spring semesters. So I'm like, okay, they're all graduating. Like, they're all probably going to come to New York. Let me get a head start. Like, I'll get to New York. I'll go to school. And I was like, I also think I'd be much more likely to get an internship living and going to school in the city and, like, trying to, like, at least start a career a little bit, whatever, if you want to say behind, like, you know, compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in school finally for, like, something that I liked, doing broadcast journalism. And I had always followed Smitty, who's our Philly guy who works here. Mm-hmm. And I just started to, like, kind of pay attention more to the New York stuff, to KFC, Dave, Big Cat. I really loved Part of My Take, so I, like, listened to Part of My Take all the time.
Oh, cool.
And I started, and literally, I kid you not, like, one day I'm going to school, whatever, Smitty tweets out that he's looking for an intern in New York. And fortunately for me, like, it's just so crazy because this would never happen now the way that this place is now. And it's so crazy to see how it evolved. But like, he literally tweeted this out and was like, you know, serious inquiries, please. Like, don't fuck with me, because everybody mm-hmm. loves to fuck with him. Mm-hmm. And so he got, all these kids are emailing him like, fuck you, Smitty. Like, and I sat down with my mom and was like, do I think this is something I would actually really want to do? What's the environment like? I think I had all the worries that, you know, a lot of people have when they're like coming into a place like this. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, just try it. Like, who cares? See what happens. I'm like, okay. So I send a nice email, attach my resume, like do the whole thing. And he's like, wow, thanks for like actually sending me a resume. Like, it's like, and he was like, come in at whatever, 9 a.m. Thursday, we're doing, at the time they were doing like a little morning show called Drive Time. They were doing it on Facebook Watch or like Facebook Live, whatever, Facebook Live.
Throwback.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, great. So I show up. I think he had told like three other kids to also be there at 9. I was the only one that showed up at 9. So I'm like, I'm the only one there.
Score.
He's like, okay. We sit down, we have like a, you know, 15 minute conversation. I tell him what I want to do. And he's, you know, he says what he's trying to do. And he's like, all right, you're hired. And I'm like, okay, great. So I just like stay the rest of the day. I was like, okay, I'm starting right now. Like, they're like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Like, this is it.
And I was like, this is okay. And then I started just like, you know, editing, helping edit stuff and put stuff up for Drive Time and like run the Drive Time social and put stuff out for that. And then a few months in, not even less than that, like a month, I think, the guys who do Drive Time were like, oh, friend, like, why don't you pop on? You know, we could use some female energy on here. And so I started to do the show with them, which was really, really fun. And we had a blast. And at the, like, Rhea was already here. And we were, you know, say hi. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't like we were best friends, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we would sit down and she would be like the only one who also cared when I'd be like, oh my God, so-and-so just did this. And she'd be like, oh my God, what? And like, so we ended up bonding over like stupid shit mm-hmm. about pop culture stuff. And that was like, okay, I think that maybe something here could work. And it was actually Kevin Clancy and Brendan, his brother, who were like, you guys could really have something cool here. Do you want to do like KFC Radio questions from your perspective? We'll film them, we'll put them on social and see what happens. And we literally, like the first one we did, we were like, oh, this is going to be good, because we were just doing emoji like translations. It was like, yeah. What does this emoji mean? And we're going through all of them, we're laughing, and there's like the emoji of a baby crawling and it pops up and I'm like, that's a baby. And Rhea was like, oh. And she was like, I was like, what? She's like, that's a baby? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I've been, no joke, using that as like sex. Like, as like I, like, let's bang. Like, it's like a baby, like,
let's do like, doggy.
Yes. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. That is literally a baby crawling on the ground. That, and she's like, no, I swear to God, I've been using it in a sexual way. Like, we're like, no, that is so not it. And everybody thought it was hilarious, and we were like, okay, great, like let's start Chicks in the Office.
That is like the startup culture that gets me so excited, how they're literally like, hey, let's throw up this content and see if it gets a response, and if it does, just start a podcast tomorrow. Yeah. And I also love that you do have that sports knowledge. I made a video once that was making fun of like girls watching The Bachelor on Monday nights and how the guys were complaining like, oh, they take the TV every Monday. And they're like, can you guys explain the rules to us? And we're like, no, we can't. Like, yeah. They're like, why are they so obsessed with that one guy? They don't even know him. Like, yeah. It's really such a similarity, yeah, between Monday Night Football and The Bachelor.
I know.
So, and I feel like you encapsulate both of them. So since working at Barstool, you basically go from like a girl that could be everyone's, yeah, friend to suddenly like Barstool's,
yeah,
everyone's best friend.
Right.
How have you dealt with like, honestly, like being in the public eye?
It's like, it has its pluses and minuses, you know. It's great and it's so much fun, like running into girls who love Chicks in the Office, mm-hmm, and who love like just who would say to us, like, I have been following you guys from the beginning. I've loved every, like, I've loved what you've done and the energy that you've brought to that place and how things have kind of changed since you both have been there. It's tough because this is not like a typical media place to work where you have fans who like you, but there's no, like, there's no extremes. It's not like love and hate, but here it's like love and hate.
Because you guys are like the team they're rooting for and people have their favorites.
But then there's also the people who just like fucking hate our guts or hated us from the beginning or just like don't like what we do, whatever it is. So it is just like sometimes hard to navigate because also the Barstool fan base is so strong that you know that they are like paying attention and you sometimes have that in the back of your mind. You're like, oh God, is somebody going to see this? Like what's going to happen? And it's just been a little bit harder, like trying to maintain like some semblance of a private life. Like I said, like I joke about the Francesca and the Barstool friend. Like my boyfriend says the same thing. Like we've been together for over 4 years. So he has been with me like from almost the beginning of like when I was just straight up doing intern shit to now. So he's like seen it all. And there are times when it's amazing and like we're out and these girls are like, oh my God, like we love everything. We love Chicks in the Office. And then there's times when you get like some like drunk dude who's like, yo friend, what are Saturdays for? And you're like, oh God, I can't do this.
Oh jeez. I mean, it's funny. I was talking to my therapist the other week dealing with like reality TV and I was talking about like, oh, people are mad at this or people hate this or they love me or they hate me. And she was like, Is that you though? Because you're talking about it like it's an avatar.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have to separate like the you that people know and the you that is like entertaining people. And I mean, the podcasts I think are great because people really get to know you at a deeper level, but it's still like just what you show. I went on this podcast, Horrible Decisions, and the girl like posted me and some fan was like, watch out for her, she's horrible, like make sure you read up on her.
Yeah.
And Weezy responded, the girl was like, I'm with her in real life, I don't have to read up on her.
Yeah.
So there is like a helpful thing for your sanity to like when people say mean stuff to you, it's like, yeah, you hate my avatar.
Yeah. And I will say I have loved, that's one of the also reasons why I have loved from like a fan perspective speaking and actually becoming friends with people who are on reality TV, because it's changed my viewpoint, right? Like, so being friends with you, being friends with some people from The Bachelor, being like, oh my God, like it's just not what you're watching on TV. Like all my friends are obsessed with Summer House, literally like, like watch Summer House, like religiously, like whatever. And so yes, we've talked about this, you know, not a fantastic season for you, right? So they're like, in our group chat, they're like, oh my God, you know, what's going on with Hannah? Like, I just like, and I'm like, guys, she's fine. She went through a lot. Like, let's, you know, and they're like, okay. And, but it's just funny because they're like, okay, no, Fran, like, calm down. We believe you. Like, you actually know, like, they're like, we know you know her in real life. So we're going to believe you and like not what we're watching on TV. But I'm like, no, but you guys have to understand, like, the way you just responded to that, watching that, is how she is getting like shit on so badly. And now because I've been in this seat where I'm like, God, it's so brutal. And I'm just like, I'm like, guys, don't do it. Cause you just fall into the trap. You do it with everything. You watch reality TV and you're like, oh my God, I totally know exactly who that person is. Yeah. And I'm like, I promise you guys, I've sat with some of these people and they're just not what you think.
But also the crazy thing is like, you'll watch multiple, like The Bachelor. You'll remember like we watched Demi on The Bachelor and everyone was like, okay, like villain. And then you watch her in Bachelor in Paradise and you're like, oh my God, I love her. She didn't change.
It's the same with Nick.
Nick Viall. But even Summer House.
I literally hated Nick. Just like despised him. Like Andy season.
He hated himself.
Oh my God. Andy season. Like I was like, this guy, I cannot get behind this guy. Like the whole thing. And it finally took like Bachelor in Paradise before he was The Bachelor to be like, oh, he's really not that bad. And took meeting him in real life and actually sitting down and talking with him to be like, oh, this guy is a good guy. Like, and it's just.
Well, also, you think of people in general. Like, I don't think anyone is like, unless if they're like out there being rude to everyone, like everyone has their complexities. But also Nick, he didn't decide either season. He's not in control either season.
No. That's what I'm saying. They have no control over how you look.
And that's
like,
why, like, Summer House, people are like, what hurts the most is when people are like, I used to love you. And I'm like, I swear, in 3 months, I did not change. Like, I didn't suddenly become some... I mean, in the pandemic, we all had our dark moments.
Yes, for sure.
But I do appreciate you being in the public eye in a place where, like, there's a lot of, like, male opinions of you that you... I mean, at least I don't have men like talking about my body or my looks that much because like there's not that many men watching, but I can't imagine the shit that you have to deal with. How's your self-confidence?
It goes up and down. It's hard, right? Like, it's also hard because I've had to like really talk to myself about this and look in the mirror and be like, look, women, first of all, I started here. I was 90. I was born in 1984. 20.
Carry the one.
Six? No, I'm 26 now. No. What am I saying? I'm 22. I started when I was 22.
Baby.
I started when I was 22. And just historically, like, if you want to study anatomy, like, women's bodies change in that, like, post 25.
Your metabolism just dies.
Like, exactly. Like, 22, I was a stick. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. It did not matter.
Just easily shit whenever you need to.
Yes. It was just like, had literally not a care in the world. And now, 4 years later, like, there's just adjustments that have to be made. I'm like, I'm not even necessarily like, okay, I got to start buying some clothes that maybe are a couple sizes bigger than what I used to and not like freak out about it. But there has always been like a problem with being here, I think, and having that be in the back of your mind as like, oh God, like if I post this picture, what are people gonna say? Like, do I look smaller? Do I look bigger? Like, what's going on? And it definitely, like, it definitely takes a toll. It's just really trying to drown that out and be like, am I happy myself in the way that I am, in the way that I feel? If you're not because you're not, then that's fine and you can work to change that. Mm-hmm. But if you're not happy about it because of what other people are saying, then that's like a very dangerous place.
But it's funny, it's like college when my friends told me I had a really long torso and I never knew that, and then after she said it I was like, fuck, I have a long torso.
Yeah.
But I do think I feel like sex sells. We love anyone who like can make money however they want.
Yep.
But I do kind of love that you never like put forward, I felt like, your like sexuality. I feel like people always respected you for like the shit you were saying. Like, it was always like, what is Fran saying? Yeah. It's never like, look at Fran's, you know, curves.
Because
today,
I'm uncomfortable. And it's literally, I kid you not, it's just because, like, sometimes I wish I could, because I truly have, like, I guess I don't know, it's just the way I grew up, I think, but I'm just like such a prude sometimes that I'm just like, I look at, sometimes I take the picture and I'm like, I can't post
like, be sexy.
This. Yeah, like I'm like, it's so uncomfortable. Like, I just don't know how to pose. I don't know how to do any, like, I'm like, I look so awkward. I just need to go like the other route.
There's millions of girls though that I think feel the same as you, and it makes, I hate to say, you're relatable, but it's nice to see someone who's like doing really well and she doesn't have to be like nips out while she's doing the pod. I joked, I was like, I said to my parents like early on, I'm like, I can't be a sports broadcaster. I'd have to get fake tits and dye my hair blonde. Which like is not true, but also that's all I was seeing on TV. So I was like, I don't like invasive surgery.
No, it's hard because like I have like, I mean, my boobs are like kind of on the bigger side. So like for like, not to brag, but like there are times in the summer where I'm just like, I want to wear these outfits. I'm like, this is so cute. And I'm like, I can't wear this to work. Like, what am I doing? I literally sat, Rhea and I recorded last week and I was wearing this shirt and I'm talking to her and we're literally next to each other. And she looks at me and goes, I'm sorry, I was just staring at your boobs. Like, I don't even know what you said. Like, and I was like, oh my God. Like, and I was like, fuck, I wore this to work? Like, I what do
but
you
I
mean?
Do you feel like, you know, but dealing it's with just, men, if you're an office hard. With all men, it's so easy to be sexualized. Like, so
oh,
easy.
For sure.
But it's like almost a conscious effort I'll do, like, when I'm dealing with men, where I just like that, like, non flirt voice where you're very just like monotone and firm. And you just
oh,
like,
everybody knows not to fuck with me here. Like, one, because I'm just like, I don't give a, like, I don't care mm-hmm. what you're, like, there's always drama and shit that's going on and people are going back and forth. And I own, like, I get my stuff from Rhea. Like, Rhea tells me what's going yeah. on. And then like in the office, everybody's like, well, we know Fran doesn't care. I'm like, yeah, I don't. Like, wow. don't involve me.
You are
like,
not meant for reality TV. That's all I have to say.
No. Unfortunately, like, I'm so just the watcher. Like, I'm so entertained by it.
Yeah.
I have immense anxiety when I'm involved that I just.
But that's why you're good at watching it,
be.
I feel like.
Yes.
Because you're fascinated by people who would do that crazy
yes.
shit.
It's
which,
like,
I'm in therapy for.
Yeah. No, I really like this. Sometimes the stuff I just listen, and I'm like, damn.
But I'm,
and I'm like,
you,
I can never do that.
My biggest fear was like going on reality TV and people perceiving me in a way that I didn't feel like was authentically myself. But then I think the universe does that to you to be like, oh, you want to level up?
Yeah.
Then you have to get over your fucking fears.
The only way I could potentially be good on reality TV if I was single and like,
yes,
really was like, my entire storyline would be just like me trying to like make out with guys, because
well, that's why
that's,
I think
like
my
that,
first
that was,
two seasons were fun. My
yeah.
first two seasons were like, we're single, having fun. And then I like started talking to people. And the next thing you know,
right.
you're like dealing with like complicated stuff. But I want to wrap up with a final game. You're doing Ooh. Amazing in hell. The devil approves. It's called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
This is a bad one, but I think like... I feel like this is going to be my answer for like every single thing. my phone, like I'm always on my phone. And then when I get called out for not being like for called out for being on it, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is mine. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm like, and then I just want to be on it more. I'm like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
But this is the problem. You're so good at your job because you're on it.
No,
like,
I know. I
it's
know,
like when
I know.
My dad's like, get off your phone. I'm like, I'm doing emails. I'm doing
yeah.
business. And he's like, no, you're not. But even scrolling TikTok, like,
no,
it's
I know.
All informative
it all, yeah.
to us.
Yep.
But there is that, like, sick unhealthiness
yeah.
of, like, forgetting to actually
yeah.
live.
You know what else I'm greedy about? Shopping.
Ooh, where are your favorite places to shop?
I have a problem. probably, like, I think Aritzia is probably my number one.
Nice.
And I've been having like a bad Zara addiction recently mm-hmm. where like I go in and because all the freaking dressing rooms in New York are still closed.
Oh yeah.
I go in with my bag of returns and I'm like, I'm going to walk right into that line and return everything and turn around and walk out. I did it yesterday. I walked in and was like, ooh, that's cute. Ooh, that's cute. And like ended up at the register with like 90 things. And every time I'm like, okay, well, I'll get a few things so that it, at least it'll turn out a zero. Like a,
mm-hmm.
I won't be spending
zero.
Any more money.
Yep.
And then I'm, and the guy's like $250. I'm like,
it's
nice,
always in
okay.
the 200s, whatever I do.
Always.
But
always.
I'm proud of you for at least returning that shit. Cause I'll get a ton of stuff. I'll try it on. And then 2 months later, I'm like, I should return it. Just kidding. I can't.
Yep.
Also,
yeah.
Zara, when you're in line, it's straight up like the Mean Girls scene when they're all like turned
yes.
into animals. Like someone will put something down and like everyone swarms. Like, what is that? What is that? Size small, size medium. It's a scary place.
It is.
If you survive, you're stronger for it.
Absolutely.
Who are you envious of besides Erin Andrews?
Oh, I mean, it's totally her.
How is she doing now? What is she up to?
She still does all, I mean, she's, so she does all the football stuff still. And she does, she has a podcast now that she does as well with another woman in sports that's very good. And then she has all the, like, the clothing, the Wear by EA
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's really active in that. Like, I'm, like, telling you everything she does. Like, I know her. I'm, like.
You're a manager now.
Yeah. I'm, like, just promoting all
she
of her stuff.
She would definitely go on Chicks.
Yeah, that, and she's been on like Erica's podcast. Like, she's done a bunch of stuff. Like, and
or
I just
on the dime package for sure.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'm just like, I'm scared. So, this is what I'm saying. I'm just get so nervous. I'm like, oh my god, can I? I just something that I probably should
wait, and then
be,
you guys
should be
friends,
over by now.
And then you're just like hanging out.
Yeah,
double dates.
I'm trying to think of somebody like. I don't know. I want to say, like, sometimes I feel super jealous or super envious of, like, the influencers who just fucking travel the world. I'm like, that looks, like, really nice. Like, I don't know why I just always think of Helen Owen, of all people. Oh, but, like, but, like, Helen Owen is just always in, like, these beautiful tropical locations on vacation, looking beautiful, you know, wearing cool clothes, drinking cool drinks. I'm like, that seems
and
like that could be
money
nice.
Flowing.
Yeah,
like
she's getting paid to do it. she's getting paid to do it. I'm like, fuck, that, like, seems like that could be pretty sweet.
Also on vacation, I eat my face off. Like, I eat myself through every country I am. So I'm like,
same.
How are
That's
you
the
sitting
best part.
There with no bloat with a pina colada? It's not logical. It doesn't make
no,
sense.
It's
edited and it's all fake.
And it also, like, you need to eat when you're drinking drinks like that. Like, or else you're fucking blacked out on your family vacation in the Caribbean because you've had four pina coladas and nothing to eat.
Oh my god. Yeah, I used to always joke about, like, fitness influencers. They always seem so great, but then at night they're just like snorting cocaine and smoking cigarettes and fucking doing horrible things for their body.
Yeah, I, you know, food is a great thing, so love
As Italians, it's how we spread love.
It is.
What are you gluttonous about? So, like, what do you overindulge in besides your phone? Food?
Food.
What's your go-tos? Because I was talking to Rhea, was like, fast food, and she was giving me like all these lists of fast food.
Okay, I'll
tell you. What's your guilty pleasure?
All right, I have, and this is very New York, but I have, like, people will know what I'm talking about, but I have this personal pizza order from Gotham Pizza, which is not a good pizza place. But they do like a personal size pie. And it's buffalo chicken, and it is so bad, but so good.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The, like, old chicken that's on it,
and
just,
it's
like,
old,
crispy
but
enough.
Like, but it's just crispy, and they drizzle. Little... You know what I love? They drizzle the ranch on there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's,
it's
just...
It's not pizza. It's something,
it's
but
not
it's not pizza.
It's not pizza, and it is...
Your Italian ancestors,
like,
are rolling
oh my God.
In their grave.
I crave it sometimes so hard. And then I'm just like a big dessert person. Mm-hmm. I have a sweet tooth. Like, I definitely dabble. I have fast food like often, not that often, but enough. But there is, if you haven't tried it, and I've talked about this on Tricks in the Office, the Domino's cookie brownie.
Oh.
Everybody talks about the lava cake.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, the world is sleeping on the cookie brownie.
The unsung hero is the cookie brownie.
It really is.
Is
I got
there
one,
ice cream
I
with
got
it?
One Sunday night. No. But okay. That you could add that to yourself if you want to pick up a little Ben and Jerry's. But it comes in like a small pizza box, and you open it up, and it's like a 3x3 cut tray of brownies. They're marble brownies. They're, you know, half cookie, half brownie.
Hell yeah.
And they are so good. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even want to know what's in them. Like, it's crack. I don't know what it is, but they're like so gooey and soft. And you're like, this probably isn't even chocolate. No. It's like, I don't even know what this is. But it is like, it's so fucking good. Like, weekend out down the shore, came home Sunday night, and my boyfriend looked at me and was just like, cookie brownie. I was like, yes.
Wait, I feel like that's what bonds. Like, I've gained weight in my relationship because we enable each other. Like,
1,000,000%.
But it's like, it's a full-on dopamine hit to look at someone and be like, are we getting ice cream? And he's like, what is he gonna say? No, and be a, like, ruin the night.
Thank god I don't think I could date someone who, like, shamed. Like, if I sometimes
that's
I joke,
why guys with six packs are the worst.
I joke all the time with Rhea, like, we, you know, you whatever, see these guys on Instagram, you're like, oh my god, they're so hot. And I'm like, we would not want to date them. Imagine turning over and being like, oh my god, I really want a Chipwich right now. And then being like, babe, that's definitely a bad idea. And you're just like, fuck off. Like, I want a Chipwich. Sorry. That's why I date someone who'll be like, oh my god, get three.
I know. No, it's so bad. But you have so much fun, and then you're eating it together and just being naughty together. You just feel great.
It's literally one of my favorite memories is when me and Joe first started dating, and he was in this tiny apartment in the West Village. And one night I was just like, god, I really like want some ice cream. And we went online and ordered these like these specialty cookie ice cream sandwiches.
Overpriced, like $20 for delivery.
Oh my god, so overpriced. But we ate them in bed. Like, it was gross. But it was like, I was like, oh my god, I love you so much.
You'd be like, I need to go to therapy tomorrow.
Yes.
But with someone, you're like, this is heaven.
Yeah. And you go out to dinner and you're like, I think we should get one of like every appetizer. And they're like, yep. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh my god,
we
when should. A guy orders multiple appetizers, it's so fucking hot.
I know.
Because yeah, when guys are like, oh, I need the chicken, but hold the seasoning, it's like, this is hell.
Absolutely. It's really, I've come to realize it's such a deal breaker for me. I don't think I could ever date someone who didn't like really love food as much as I do.
Yeah. Yeah, like in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were a sloth? So like just lazy, didn't do anything all day.
Like all the time.
But I feel like you're always consuming media. Like, even if you're passed out, you're watching shit.
I absolutely am.
Would you consider yourself a workaholic in a way?
Kind of, in that I just have a there's something in my brain that's always like, you need to know what's going on. And you can't, like, you can't turn off. You turn off, you're going to miss something. Something's going to go bad.
FOMO of reality TV.
Yeah, 100%. Or just, like, what's going on at work or what's happening. But, no, I definitely have my... like Monday, like some one of the days where I'm not necessarily working or recording, that I stay in bed and just watch like one show all long.
Yeah.
Like the same, like I, in quarantine, I watched a bunch of The Housewives from the beginning because I never did. And I just, oh my God, like flew through them.
But then you're so much more informed when you have to make like little opinions.
Oh, absolutely. Now I know everything.
It's like a museum for housewives.
Yeah, it is.
How is your like anxiety been in terms of having this career for a while that's been doing really well, Chicks in the Office? Do you put pressure on yourself to grow or like to beat your last episode, or like how do you balance that kind of pressure? Because you're a performer.
We've been doing it for a while now, where it's like, where, how do we take this to another level? What else can we be doing? And we definitely have felt that, we're like, you know, we used to do one episode a week and then we did two episodes a week and now we do three episodes a week.
Crazy.
So we just like,
but it's like
really,
if something works, it works, and you're just
absolutely
giving them more. Give the people what they want.
I know. But there's always a pressure to be doing other stuff. We were locked in for a year where it's like, we want to travel, we want to see people, we want to do events, we want to host shows. Like, we want to do a lot of stuff out in the world.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know,
TBD.
Might necessarily take like that next step.
Yeah, that gives you this second energy of like feeling people. And
sometimes you forget. Like, especially doing a podcast, you're like, you forget that people are listening to what you say.
But that's what makes you good at podcasting.
And care. And then you go into a public place and they're like, oh my God, I love what you said. And you're like, holy shit, I forgot people were listening to that.
That's exactly what happens to me. Also, side note, because I'm in a business relationship as well as a friendship with Paige, and we're having so much fun doing Giggly Squad. But I'm so impressed by the like length that you and Rhea have worked together. Do you have any advice for working with a good friend?
Yeah, this is my advice. You have to be as open as possible.
Yes.
Like, there are, you cannot have any secrets when it comes to work. The second you decide to be like, ooh, I'm going to take this deal, or I'm going to talk to this person about this, this company approached me or whatever, you're fucked. Because then you start to get like competitive and you start to think like, oh my God, what else are they doing that I'm not doing? So for the two of us, we have always been like, look, when it comes to work and what we're doing, we got to be on the same page. If we got to be open, we got to tell each other how we're feeling. And then we've just, I think it's because we've done it for so long that now we're much more open with each other than we were in the beginning. Like, there were times when I think I bit my tongue or she did. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, you know, and then we just let it go and it disappears. But now, like, we can snap at each other.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later be like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm just having a bad day and I didn't mean to snap at you. And the other person is like, you're so fine.
Yeah, I'd rather come out and you know what's going on.
Yes.
Paige and I have a thing where I'll straight up be like, okay, business talk now so we can kind of separate it. And then I'll be like, you need to do this, this, this. And I'll go back to being like, what'd you do last night? But like, we try to separate the two conversations.
I do the same thing too. I feel bad because I'm such a type A. I'm like you two are, you know, if we have all these swipe ups scheduled or whatnot, and I'm like, we're talking about something stupid, and then I'll slide in. I'll be like, oh, by the way, like, not to be annoying, but you really need to post that, and then be like, back to the other thing we're talking about. Just throw it in there.
Something that you won't take personally, but then you are talking about things that are super personal and trying to balance that. But I do think like finding another woman in your life who like supports you emotionally and career wise is like a beautiful fucking thing.
It absolutely is.
When was the last time you let your pride get in the way of something or your ego? This is a tough one.
I don't necessarily think work-wise I've done it, but probably more relationship-wise, arguing about something and then just like not backing down because I'm just like, I'm right.
Because I'm right.
Because I am absolutely right. And, you know, that's just like not a great way to live your life.
You've been together for a long ass time. How long?
Long time. 4 years, over 4 years now. We just moved in together.
Oh my God. Why do you guys think you work so well together?
It's like, it's so cheesy, but he's just like the yin to my yang, right? Like we just push each other in the right ways where like in my natural like laziness state, he's just not like that at all. So I just am more active when I'm around him and we just like balance each other out really well. He's a really big personality. Mm. And so like he is... which is great because I love at work where I'm like, oh, this is all about me. Like, this is me show, like whatever. And then I go home or we go out with our friends. And everyone's like, we love Joe. Joe's the best. He's amazing. Like, oh my God.
Off.
And I just like sit there and I'm like, yeah, he's great. Like, and he just kind of like does his thing and everybody loves him and he gets along with, like everybody, literally everyone. So it's like, it's just a great, like, it's just been a very good balance. And he is just a good old rock, like keeps me grounded and in reality and like just reminds me what's, you know, at the end of the day, like what's really important. So
well, congrats on moving in together.
Thank you.
I feel like it's like you just continue growing and you just find out if that person like naturally fits into your like daily routines. But I feel like you guys have probably spent so much fucking time together.
Oh my God. I lived at his house with his mom for like 8 months in quarantine.
Okay,
so
you already went through the hardships. This should be easier. Besides your boy toy, when was the last time you lusted over someone? So like, who's your celebrity crush?
Saying Nick Jonas is so boring, but like, that's just always, he's just always been... he's always been my number one guy.
So you like him over Joe?
I'm a Nick gal. Always been a Nick gal.
I respect that. I mean, he's the true talent of the group, let's be honest.
Although I think our energies, I used to always think our energies would match up, but I actually don't think they would. Like, he's also a Virgo, and I think we're both like...
mm-hmm. Maybe you just see similarities, but he's not your person.
Yeah, correct.
Which is hard to admit, but I respect the maturity.
Yep, thank you.
of this journey you've gone on.
Thank you.
To wrap this up, because it's been an hour, and I'm so grateful that we have chick in hell. Final question, what advice would you give to listeners on what to do when you're going through hell? When it's dark, what do you do to cope?
Oh, man. When it's dark, like reach out. You gotta like, if you're in this dark circle, you gotta get like something, like just a hand out of there, because someone will grab you and pull you and you gotta lean on other people. That's one of the biggest things I've realized is you just cannot solve all your problems by yourself.
No.
You think you can work your way out of it, but you just can't, whether it's talking to a family member, a friend, a therapist, whatever it is, like you have to let somebody hold your hand and pull you out, because if you don't, like you're just stuck forever.
I love that. Cause you got there by yourself. So it's going to be hard to get out by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You really, exactly. Like people don't realize that. They're like, you get stuck and then it's like, what do I do? It's like, you have to be able to ask for help, which is one of the biggest things I've learned. Cause I just never wanted to ask, but you got to ask.
I love that so much. Yeah. Fran, where can people follow you, listen to you? Give me the goods.
So you can follow me at Francesca Mariano on Instagram, at Barcel Fran on Twitter, at Chicks in the Office is all of the podcast stuff. Chucks in the Office comes out Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. You can also, if you love football, you can follow the Dime Package. That's hosted by me and Casey Smith. We're on a little summer hiatus right now, but we'll be back once football season starts in the fall. And you can subscribe to the group chat on Snapchat.
Awesome. We love Chicks in the Office. Giggly Squad went on, so definitely listen to those episodes. And thank you so much, Fran. You're the
best.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you guys later in hell. Bye.